On March 30, Janet Benson, an academic from the University of Copenhagen, published a paper called In Crisis, We Pray. She showed that over the last couple of months, internet searches for prayer have skyrocketed. Her conclusion? We pray to cope with adversity. Coronavirus has thrown much of our world and our lives into chaos. So many of the things which we depended upon have been taken away. We're confronted with the reality of death. We are not in control. Life is fragile. And so we turn to God. I know I've been praying a whole lot more in the last few months. A prayer may be something new for you. For others, you've been coming to God for some time. Well, our goal as St. George's at this time has been to help people stay connected with God and with each other. Jesus' disciples asked him, Lord, teach us to pray. And he answered with what we call the Lord's Prayer, or the Our Father. We're going to learn from Jesus as we explore this prayer over the next 7 weeks. Prayer is the heartbeat of the Christian faith and Christian experience. Prayer gives us a window into what Christianity is all about. And I hope this series will help you if you're exploring the Christian faith or if you've been a Christian for a long time. Last year, I was talking to some guys who came along to the Alpha course at St. George's. A couple of them compared prayer with mindfulness or meditation, and I can see the similarities. Yes, there's an inwardness, an attention, a calming of the mind, but there's a fundamental difference between prayer and mindfulness. For the Christian, prayer is all about a relationship. God has made us for relationship with Him, and He's created us to know Him and to love Him. The lifeblood of all relationships is communication. And so when it comes to relationship with God, He speaks to us primarily through the Bible, and we speak to God through prayer. Well, if that's what prayer is, why do we find it so hard to pray? Why don't we pray? I want to suggest that it's because we don't know or we forget who it is we're praying to. Who do we pray to? Well, Jesus says we are to pray to our Father in heaven. But what does that mean? Well, there are two main ways which we don't understand who it is that we're praying to. The first is that we only have a vague idea of who God is. You know, we might think of God as some sort of cosmic spiritual force or something that unites and pervades all things or an ocean of being or whatever. This is a very impersonal picture of God. Second, we might picture God as a person but see Him as kind of an infinitely bigger version of all the bad authority figures that we've experienced in our lives. The word Father itself may be unhelpful because of the failures of our own fathers. This is the picture of God as a cosmic tyrant or bully. He's certainly powerful, but is He good? Well, Jesus says, when we pray, we are to begin with the words, Our Father in heaven. This tells us that the one we are praying to is not an impersonal force, but a person, our Father in heaven. John chapter 1 verse 18 says, No one has ever seen God, but God the one and only who's at the Father's side, He has made Him known. This is why Jesus came, to make the Father known to us. He reveals the Father so that we might know Him as our Father. Jesus tells us what God is like. Which of you, he asks, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, well, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Yes, our parents have stuffed up. And I know as a dad, I certainly stuff up. But our Father in heaven is good. He loves us and he has sent his Son to die for us so that we can be adopted as his children. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, when we believe in Christ, we receive the right to become children of God. The Apostle Paul writes in Galatians 3 verse 26, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And he goes on in chapter 4 to say, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights as sons. And because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit that cries out, Abba, Father. This is the incredible news at the heart of Christianity, that not only did Jesus die for our sins, but that as we trust him, we are adopted as God's children. Now, some people might ask, why does Paul say sons and not children? Is he being sexist, kind of that ancient patriarchal culture? Well, it's a great question because it helps us see just how profound Paul's words are. Paul is saying that as we trust in Jesus, we share in his very relationship with God the Father as the divine Son. Abba is the Aramaic word for daddy, which is how Jesus himself speaks to his Father. And so God sends the Spirit of his Son, Jesus' very presence, into our hearts so that with Jesus we can call out Abba, Father. And of course, God is not just my Father, he's our Father. Jesus draws us not only into a relationship with God, but also into a relationship with each other. And that's why the church is God's family. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. One of my favorite TV shows is The Crown. Season one is all about the early life of Queen Elizabeth II. And some of the most moving scenes are where the princesses, Elizabeth and Margaret, simply enjoy spending time with their dad, King George VI. Now, for everyone else, there's a whole lot of protocol and formality and distance that everyone has to go through to get an audience with the king. But for Elizabeth and Margaret, they can just run past all of that into his arms because they're his children. And that's what being children of the king gets you, free access into his presence. And that's what you and I have in prayer. Free access into God's own throne room as his children. The Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians, through Jesus, we have access to the Father by one Spirit. In this time of coronavirus, we have a Father in heaven who loves us. Will you come to him?